thousands in attendance and the millions watching around the world.
This is the main event.
Fred Phelps, the founding pastor of Kansas's congregation known for its anti-gay public protests at military funerals, has died. Under Phelps's leadership, Westboro Baptist Church members preached that virtually every tragedy involving Americans was God's punishment for the nation accepting homosexuality. The 2011 Supreme Court decision upheld the church's right to picket military funerals. Phelps was 84.
Hated him.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3. 2-1
Injection, fellas.
Suicide is a suicide. Suicide is a suicide. Suicide is a suicide.
They say those who cannot learn from history are doomed to repeat it. So it must be the case that he who wrote history wanted a rendition, regurgitation, relapse, repeated mistakes, because all I see when I watch the news are headlines that match the chapter titles of my high school history textbooks. Worlds and war and Western thinking run on repeat like broken records. Eurocentric euphemisms like Western expansion, exploration, manifest destiny, and spreading democracy are just tactful translations from the truth as slave trade, colonists, imperialism, exploitation of your natural resources, and a bad excuse for U.S. military. Americans played this red, white skin, blue Superman savior mentalities. Third world nations being left with nothing but privileged lands, broken homes, and false promises of American dreams. History textbooks are written like a bad version of Lord of the Rings, and I've been bored since the first book. Americans Frodo Baggins, Uncle Sam is Gandalf, and the evil Sauron is made out to be every youth of color in a hoodie with Skittles and iced tea, men and women in hijab or turban, or someone with a family crest on their chest mistaken as a gang-related tattoo. World history is just American propaganda. Last year's communists is this year's terrorists. The blatant bastardizing of brothers of color just to beat them down. So maybe history doesn't repeat itself, but it sure does rhyme a lot. And we are just caught up in a bad fairy tale. If you do not tell your stories and write down your histories, then someone else will. And I'm not saying it's the man, but that someone is usually really white, really old, and really male. And the alphabet soup at the end of his name, PhD, confuses him. Confuses what he understands to be facts is really just a glorified opinion. So please, sir, expert your way out of wrongful omission. Please tell my young students that Vietnamese people, my history, is more than just two textbook pages about a war, but we're a peoples, a cultures, a way of life. Please tell my Hmong students that their people's history in helping the US CIA in the secret war, why is it still a goddamn secret and no one knows about it? We must reclaim the history that has yet been told to us. And if hypocritical historians can ridiculously rant on this racist rundown of biased narrative, then I can too. So from now on, the migration of Vietnamese people to America since the fall of Saigon will now be known as manifest beautification, because goddammit, we look good. And this post-racial myth that believes that we are all the same and not a beautiful diversity of many different called melting pot of America? Well, we should call that pho-ism from now on, because you know, anything with a little bit of pho always makes it better. And my mother is a real POW. Not prisoner of war, but being in a Filipino refugee camp for 8 months, she was in a prison among warriors. We will write our stories. We will make our own histories upon canvas, upon page, upon walls, upon minds.
This is the conspiratorial view of history, as opposed to the accidental view. And it is the conspiratorial view that we shall present in this program.
Well, Cher, this is the first time the superintendent and the school board had to face the public since news of his compensation broke. The community spoke during public comments, and I can tell you, they did not hold back.
Where's the police? Get him out of here. Arrest this guy.
Centinela Valley Superintendent Jose Fernandez took a tongue-lashing Tuesday night.
You're a disgrace to this country and to the Hispanic community.
It's a little bit embarrassing from a Latino's perspective that you're picking on your own people.
The district's home and business owners, teachers, and parents outraged to learn their tax dollars were used to pay Fernandez $663,000 in compensation last year.
You guys are moving on up. We in the ghetto get to pay all of your salaries, so you move on up.
The community learned about Fernandez's compensation in recent reports published in their local paper, the Daily Breeze. The superintendent, who oversees a district of 6,600 students, making more money than the president of the United States. In addition to approving Fernandez's lucrative contract in 2008, loaded with raises and perks, the board helped Fernandez, who recently emerged from bankruptcy, buy his Ladera Heights home, providing him a $910,000 loan at 2% interest.
It makes me wonder what you guys are all getting paid up here. Because if you were able to allow this, what are your perks?
I propose that there be a special recall election of this whole damn board and a criminal investigation into the board.
I give my wife everything. I do anything I can for my wife. I'm sleeping with her. Who are you sleeping with?
Who here is going to be with me fighting it every step of the way? If you fight it, stand up right now. We'll walk the streets and prevent another $100 million from being spent.
Sir, can you please refrain from speaking at this moment? You already had your comment.
Like it or not, life is full of measuring sticks. How smart we are, how fast we are, how well we can, you know, compete. But up until now, it's been pretty hard to tell how well kids are competing in school and how well they're going to do when they get out of school. We like to think that our education system does that. But when it comes to learning what they really need to be successful after graduation, is a girl in your neighborhood being taught as much as her friend over in the next one? Is a graduating senior in, say, St. Louis,
in the state of Missouri,
as prepared to get a job as the graduate in Shanghai? Well, it turns out the answer to both of these questions is no. Because for years, states have been setting different standards for what students should know and be able to do at each grade level. That's making it too hard to know if our kids are really doing well enough overall, and if they can really compete for a job someday. What we really need are clear goals. That's where the Common Core state standards come in. They're like a total sea change in education. Consistent, strong, clear benchmarks for English language arts and math. Here's how it works. You can think of kindergarten through 12th grade like a giant staircase. Each step is a skill your child needs to learn before stepping up to the next one. But right now, too many kids aren't really confident with, like, 2+2 before they have to move on to 2x2. We need more focus on the skills that help them move up the stairs, or they can slip up and fall behind. And there's another problem. What if everyone's stairs were made at different heights? Well, here we go again. They are. So, a boy in Seattle who's rocking an A in English literature could be getting a C on his Chicago friend's staircase. Oops. We need to create consistent steps in education, too. So first, each standard creates a landing on the staircase, a stop along the way as your child heads toward high school graduation. Each stop is a chance for every parent and teacher to focus on the skills their students are supposed to know at that step, no matter the zip code, language, or race. And more importantly, each standard makes sure all students are learning what they need to know to get to graduation and beyond. Because something like counting to 100 leads to understanding dollars and cents, which eventually leads to understanding how to manage a budget. Secondly, the standards are consistent from school to school, and they match up against international standards too. Now we know how we're doing compared to just about everyone. So even though local communities will still design their own curriculum with the same rules, everybody can compete on the same kind of staircase. But standards aren't learning. That's why we need teachers, parents, and students to help make that happen by working together to help kids meet these standards. The world's getting more and more competitive every day. But now, when our kids get to the top of their staircase, they can have way more options on where their life goes from there. Clear goals, confident, well-prepared students. That's the Common Core state standard.
Some of you who have small children may have perhaps been put in the embarrassing position of being unable to do your child's arithmetic homework because of the current revolution in mathematics teaching known as the new math. So as a public service here tonight, I thought I would offer a brief lesson in the new math. Tonight, we're going to cover subtraction. This is the first room I've worked for a while. It didn't have a blackboard, so we will have to make do with more primitive visual aids, as they say in the ed biz. Consider the following subtraction problem, which I will put up here. 342 minus 173. Now, remember how we used to do that. 3 from 2 is 9, carry the 1. And if you're under 35 or went to a private school, you say 7 from 3 is 6. But if you're over 35 and went to a public school, you say 8 from 4 is 6. And carry the 1, so we have 169. But in the new approach, as you know, the important thing is to understand what you're doing rather than to get the right answer. Here's how they do it now. You can't take 3 from 2. 2 is less than 3, so you look at the 4 in the tens place. Now that's really 4 tens, so you make it 3 tens, regroup, and you change a 10 to 10 ones, and you add to the 2 and get 12, and you take away 3, that's 9. Is that clear? Now instead of 4 in the tens place, you've got 3 because you added 1, that is to say 10 to the 2, but you can't take 7 from 3, so you look in the hundreds place. From the 3, you then use 1 to make 10 ones, and you know why 4 plus minus 1 plus 10 is 14 minus 1, because addition is commutative, right? And so you got 13 tens, and you take away 7, and that leaves 5. Well, 6, actually, but the idea is the important thing. Now go back to the hundreds place. You're left with 2, and you take away 1 from 2, and that leaves... Everybody get 1? Not bad for the first day. Hooray for new math! New math! It won't do you a bit of good to review math. It's so simple, so very simple, that only a child can do it. Now that actually is not the answer that I had in mind, because the book that I got this problem out of wants you to do it in base 8. But don't panic. Base 8 is just like base 10, really, if you're missing 2 fingers. Shall we have a go at it? Hang on. You can't take 3 from 2. 2 is less than 3, so you look at the 4 in the 8's place. Now that's really 4 8's, so you make it 3 8's, regroup, and you change an 8 to 8 1's, and you add to the 2, and you get 1 2 base 8, which is 10 base 10, and you take away 3, that's 7. Okay? Now instead of 4 in the 8's place, you've got 3 because you added 1, that is to say 8, to the 2, but you can't take 7 from 3, so you look at the 64's. 64. How did 64 get into it? I hear you cry. Well, 64 is 8 squared, don't you see? When you ask a silly question, you get a silly answer. From the 3, you then use 1 to make 8 1's. You add those 1's to the 3, and you get 1 3 base 8, or in other words, in base 10, you have 11, and you take away 7, and 7 from 11 is 4. Now go back to the 64's. You're left with 2, and you take away 1 from 2, and that leaves... Now let's not always see the same hands. One, that's right. Whoever got 1 can stay after the show and clean the erasers. Hooray for new math, new math. It won't do you a bit of good to review math. It's so simple, so very simple, that only a child can do it. Come back tomorrow night. We're gonna do fractions.
I went to public school. In this video, me are going to address the problems that is in the public school and how to make education gooder. The quality of public education has been going like this, especially over the past couple of decades. There's a lot of reasons for the decline, but a big reason is the federal government is increasingly taking control over schools. Centralizing education and one-size-fits-all policies don't work. No Child Left Behind left everyone behind. Now we have Common Core, which is Uniform National Curriculum Standards. Remember that mean principal in TV sitcoms?
This will go down on your permanent record.
Well, that permanent record is now real. There's a huge new student tracking database as part of Common Core. Huge violation of privacy, creepy big brother, data mining. I know what some of you are thinking. But it's actually a well-known part of Common Core. The database would not just include relevant academic information, such as test scores. It could include information on a student's religion, political affiliation, blood type, overall health status, sexual orientation, and more. And get this, it could track a student's appreciation for diversity and cultural awareness. Let's say 6-year-old little Susie likes to repeat things she hears her older brother's friends say.
Tommy pushed me off the monkey bars. He's a...
Now, Susie, that wasn't very politically correct of you, was it? This is going in your permanent record, and your potential future employers will be able to read this. I mean, come on. Little kids, they say and repeat things they don't understand all the time. Don't let their un-PC inappropriate comments they made when they were in first grade haunt them forever. Another problem with Common Core is this kids aren't allowed to fail mentality. We have to coddle them. It might hurt their feelings. Everyone is a special snowflake. Mathematics under Common Core is pretty messed up. Let's say a kid writes 2 plus 2 equals 5 on his test. As long as he can explain how he arrived at that wrong answer, then that's just fine. This kids are too precious to fail mentality has got to go. Is this how to prepare kids for the real world? I mean, not everyone can be a politically connected Wall Street banker. There are a lot of problems with Common Core. I don't even have time to go into most of them. But a step in the right direction would be to give local communities, teachers, parents control over their schools so they can design curriculums and standards to best meet the needs of their students.
I bring forth the basic equation of any hypotenuse of a right angle triangle minus the square root of the sum of a cube shape square. On both sides, I am the island in the center of the triangle. I restate my assumptions. Mathematics is the language of the universe. Everything around us can be represented, overstood through numbers. If you have the number of any systems, patterns emerge. Therefore, geometrically, there are patterns everywhere in nature. I begin to search for the sigma code, the 9 fixed points, and the width from 0.3, 14, 15, 92, 65, 35, and 89 equals the multiple of pi, the numerical value that adds up from 0 to 9. Every time, this is the exact number of pi. Count it out to 9 and divide it by 10, carry you 30 and 2. Digits, no matter human or mathematician has ever been able to figure out how to calculate the basic decimal point of the equation of 9 to the 9th power of 9, or the diameter of a circle divided into the circumference of the square. It's the free mathematics that appears here, so fear not to all MCs step within the square. Remember Pythagoras and where we got his equation from, by standing in front of the sarcophagus kiss within the king's chamber, beneath the base of the great pyramid, ancient Tamarind, partially being called Egypt. The Pythagoreans, mathematicians, co-leaders, the first of them was born in Athens, Greece in 500 BCE. His major belief was that the universe was made of numbers. His major contribution in life, the golden ratio, Leonardo da Vinci rediscovered the balance perfection, golden rectangle, and penciled it into his masterpieces. Connecting a curve through the concentric golden triangle, you generate the mythical golden spiral. Pythagoras loved the shape, for he found everything in nature, from seashells to ramparts, the whirlpools, to tornadoes, our fingerprints, our DNA, and even our Milky Way. You see, mathematics appears everywhere when measuring distant galaxies. We are passing mathematical reasoning. That's between 1, 2, and 3. And have traveled 3, 5, and 7. And now we hold the key, which is the arm to the Pythagorean theorem. That's between 1 and 9. We are passing mathematical reasoning. That's between 1 and 2 and 3. And have traveled 3, 5, and 7. And now we hold the key, which is the arm to the Pythagorean theorem. That's between 1 and 9.
Listen to yourself, you're connecting a computer bug I had with a computer bug you might have had in some religious Hogwarts. Do you want to find the number 216 in the world? You will be able to find it everywhere. 216 steps from your street corner to your front door. 216 seconds you spend riding on the elevator. When your mind becomes obsessed with anything, you will filter everything else out and find that thing everywhere.
In the magnificent world of arithmetic, what is the hidden mystery within the equation of 9 to the 9th? How up 9 to number 9? Is it odd or is it even? Me, 5 and 9 are even. Any sequence of integers that define right angleness within a triangular measurement. So we begin to start counting from 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. But where is the number 9 seen at last in the line before 0 slips in? So we begin to start counting again.
infinity. So if you divide 144,002 233, the answer will approach to be data, the key to understanding the golden spiral. 9 is also twice 4 plus 1 before it's equal to 2 plus 2. So perhaps deep down in the fabrics of numbers, I salute you and all of those who mathematically do not have a clue. We have math and mathematical reasoning that's between 1, 2, and 3, and have traveled 3, 5, and 7, and now we hold the key, which is the arc to the Pythagorean theorem that's between 1 and 9. We have mastered mathematical reasoning.
I'm sure you've written down every 216-digit number. You've translated all of them. You've intoned them all. Haven't you? What's it gotten you? The number is nothing.
I'm really terrified to have kids because I'm dumb. Oh my God, man, I don't want to have dumb kids. See my kids struggle through math class. Daddy, how does that work? You gotta cheat, that's what I did. You got mind genes, I never figured it out. I don't think, you know, all the hormones and the meat, you're f***ed. That's what's unique about me, I know I'm dumb. Most dumb people don't have a clue. You gotta be dumb to be willing to get on stage with a microphone and tell your opinions to a bunch of strangers and hope they laugh. You gotta be some kind of weirdo. I know that, but most people don't know they're dumb. There should be a way to tell, like a little home pregnancy test type thing. You know, because no one's gonna go to class and find out if you're stupid. But if you could just take something home and you lick it and you go, oh, I'm a fucking idiot. The fuck you I am. No, nobody wants to believe they're stupid. You wouldn't even believe that. If they came out with a test, it'd be websites devoted to disproving it. For sure, right? Nobody likes to think we're dumb, but really, most of us are pretty dumb. Even the smart ones have really just memorized a bunch of ish that other smart people have figured out. I mean, like, what if everybody out there died and we had to take over the world? Just the San Francisco Cobbs Saturday night 8 o'clock show. How do you think we'd do? We'd do okay. There's some smart people here. There's some good genetics, right? We do fine for a little while. Till this shit started breaking. Does anybody know how any of this shit really works? I mean, why is that loud? Any ideas? Because I don't have a clue. If you left me on an island for 1,000,000 years with all the tools in the world, you come back, I'll be stabbing fish with a pointy stick, all right? I'm not gonna figure that out. I'll never be able to make a microphone. But I got one. I got a camera on my cell phone. I don't know how it got in there. Maybe they use magic. I don't even know what the fucking camera is. I know I press a button and the picture shows up. What happens between me pressing that button and that picture showing up is anybody's fucking guess. There might be gremlins in there smoking crystal meth and leprechauns in the ass, spray painting pictures. I don't know. I really don't know. I never even thought about it once. I go, what pretty picture? Now it's mine.
I'm a photographer. I'm so smart.
Think about all the ish you need to run your life. Satellite dishes and Blackberries and cell phones. How many of you know how to make any of that ish? I mean, if I left you alone in the woods with a hatchet, how long before you could send me an email? We're not smart. We're just buying fish from smart people. And I don't know any of them. Do you? Smart people are just like some myth. I've heard of them. There's a genius. He lives in Texas. He makes video games. All he does is sit in front of the computer all day. Wow, I could talk to that guy. How many of them are there? Is anybody watching them and making sure they breed? No, nobody gives a shit. That's my biggest fear, is that one day, quietly, all the smart people are just going to die off and leave us with a bunch of shit we don't understand. We won't even know what's happening until it's too late. We'll be hanging out partying. You want to do shots? No, yeah, I'm going to work tomorrow. And the power just shuts off. What do you do? What do you do when the power goes out? I don't know what you do, but what I usually do is I like to sit around and I wait. I figure this is probably a guy working on that. He's probably psyched. Like, they get like time and a half when the power goes out. How long would it take before you realize the power was never coming back? It would take years! You'd be beaten in the street with torches. You heard anything? Nothing? Shit! Then the animals would figure it out. They just realize the cars aren't moving anymore. There's no loud noises. And bears just start jacking people. would just have little bear meetings. A fuck salmon. They're fast. People are slow or they're fat and they taste great. You don't even have to catch them. You know if you scare them, they black out? Now, bears start feasting. The bears just adapt to only eat people. Now we're fucked. We gotta be strapped everywhere we go, but that's fine, dude. I got guns, man. I'm not afraid to use them. I'll shoot a bear. Until I run out of bullets, and I don't know how to make a bullet. Do you know how to make a bullet? There's no bullets at all? Shit! Oh, we're sitting ducks. We gotta get out of the city. People would just naturally move back to the caves. Caves are safer, dude. You guard the entrance with sharp, pointy sticks. Back the fuck up! Shit! Keep the fire lit! We would just get down to a core group of crazy monkey people who forgot everything. Trigonometry, what the fuck are you talking about? You get a pointed stick and you stab the monster. I'll eat you! I'll eat you! But there would still be people. As long as they could survive long enough, they would refigure things out. The smart ones would survive. They could re-evolve. How crazy would that be? Like cavemen coming out of the caves and discovering the ruins of downtown San Francisco. Just wandering around going, dude, what the fuck? Bro, who built all this shit?
Dude, it had to be aliens.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I can't make that shit, can you? It's impossible. See, I think this has actually happened to people before. Yeah, I was super high when I thought this up, but it makes sense. I'm talking about the pyramids. I think my theory explains the pyramids. You ever watch like a documentary on the pyramids? Guesswork! They don't have a clue as to how those things were built. This is real, I'm not making any of this up. Great Pyramid of Giza has 2,300,000 stones that weigh between 2 and 80 tons. Some of them were dragged from a quarry 500 miles away with no machines, no trucks, no steel. They had copper tools, yet they figured out how to mathematically perfectly place these stones to true north, south, east, and west. If you cut and place 10 of these monster stones a day, it would take you 664 years to make one pyramid. All brought to you by people who thought the god Ra took the sun across the sky in a canoe and returned later that evening with the moon. They had 16-year-old queens. Cleopatra was 16 when she was running shit. That's like Lindsay Lohan being queen of the world. They built that? Are you sure it was the same people? Are you totally positive? Because I have another theory. I think that people used to be really, really, really smart. But the dumb ones just out the smart ones. That's what I think. I think we are all the bastard children of the idiot stone workers of Egypt. It's the only thing that makes sense. I think once upon a time there was a master race. They were reading each other's minds and mapping out the cosmos. And they were free of ego. And behind them, the stone workers just fall away. I make another person. How many you make?
I make 4.
I make 5. I found a race I can win. More people. I'm gonna show you. 29. More people. And one day the smart people just died off. They probably invented a robot doll and never had a kid again. One day the idiots just showed up at the pyramid. Hello? Supposed to get our checks on Friday! What is going on here? What do you think they would do? I think they would move into the pyramids. Why would you live in that little hut, that little shitbag hut, when you could move into the pyramids? They would just start talking.
You sure nobody lives there? Nobody lives there. Let's just move in.
They would just start claiming the rooms. King's Chamber, I called it! Ooh, I'm the king! And after a while, they just forget.
Who built this?
We did! We're the best! We're number one! Egypt! Egypt!
You should be proud of your heritage, son. Look at what we've accomplished. Look at this beautiful flat wall. They're not making that in Europe, boy. I think I will draw stick figures on it. This right here, this is a woman carrying fruit upon her head. Very important to document. Pass that knowledge down.
over here. This is a man, but he have the head of a dog. This dog, and he's evil! Do not listen to him!
They believed in a dog head guy. God, how stupid. Yeah, not like you who believed in dudes who walked on water and came back from the dead. You're a tough genius.
I believe the crazy shit. No, you do.
I'll go to church with anybody who's willing to smoke pot, look through a telescope with me.
Howard T. and Tully, Tim Jafar Kau, Tarpin M.R.F., Mu.F., Tar.F., Sam.F., Minute F. Nebbit, Hyatt Nebbit, Hennet Nebbit, Jedifuit F., Howard F., Hussett,
Studies show that more and more teenagers are leaving Facebook, but where are they going instead? Apparently, to the hottest new social media site in years, the comments section of this YouTube video of a deer running in slow motion. The video, titled Slow Motion Night Footage of Adult Male Deer Running, was uploaded just months ago, but already its comments section is seeing over 30 million active users, the majority of whom are teenagers and college students. But why the major social media shift? Teenagers say there are a number of reasons.
It's just where all my friends are. I go check under the deer to see funny pictures my friends are posting or to see if anyone's throwing a party. I met my boyfriend under the deer. Hey, DM me later.
Young people are using the Amateur Nature Videos comments section to post texts or links to pictures and videos. Users can also reply to friends' posts and vote on them with a thumbs up or a thumbs down. Experts say new social media hotspots like the comments section on slow motion night footage of adult male deer running really appeal to teens for some reason.
We thought the deer might be the next Twitter. Now we think it might be the next Instagram, or maybe even the next Friendster. Bottom line is it's hip and it's cool and I don't think it's going away anytime soon.
Just yesterday, I put a funny picture of my dad sleeping on there that went super viral. It got like 500 deer points.
And Facebook isn't giving up so easily, incorporating images and videos of deer, elk, reindeer, and even moose into their layout. But teens say that misses the point entirely. In fact, the site's one unwritten rule, don't post anything about the video itself. Teens say that's not cool. But with more and more people swapping over to the comments section of the slow motion deer video by the day, some trend watchers warn it may begin going the way of Facebook.
I was obsessed with it for a while, but now it's just boring. I'm probably going to switch over to Happy Fast Kitchen.
While we don't know for sure, we believe Happy Fast Kitchen might refer to the Yelp page for a Chinese food restaurant in Cleveland, the new social media site where musician Skrillex recently dropped his latest album.
Yes! Oh my God!
Good morning, everybody. I wanted to provide an update on the situation in Ukraine and the steps that the United States is taking in response. Over the last several days, we've continued to be deeply concerned by events in Ukraine. We've seen an illegal referendum in Crimea, an illegitimate move by the Russians to annex Crimea, and dangerous risks of escalation, including threats to Ukrainian personnel in Crimea and threats to southern and eastern Ukraine as well. These are all choices that the Russian government has made, choices that have been rejected by the international community as well as the government of Ukraine. And because of these choices, the United States is today moving, as we said we would, to impose additional costs on Russia. Based on the executive order that I signed in response to Russia's initial intervention in Ukraine, we're imposing sanctions on more senior officials of the Russian government. In addition, we are today sanctioning a number of other individuals with substantial resources and influence who provide material support to the Russian leadership, as well as a bank that provides material support to these individuals. Now, we're taking these steps as part of our response to what Russia has already done in Crimea. At the same time, the world is watching with grave concern as Russia has positioned its military in a way that could lead to further incursions into southern and eastern Ukraine. For this reason, we've been working closely with our European partners to develop more severe actions that could be taken if Russia continues to escalate the situation. As part of that process, I signed a new executive order today that gives us the authority to impose sanctions not just on individuals, but on key sectors of the Russian economy. This is not our preferred outcome. These sanctions would not only have a significant impact on the Russian economy, but could also be disruptive to the global economy. However, Russia must know that further escalation will only isolate it further from the international community. The basic principles that govern relations between nations in Europe and around the world must be upheld in the 21st century. That includes respect for sovereignty and territorial integrity. The notion that nations do not simply redraw borders or make decisions at the expense of their neighbors simply because they are larger or more powerful. One of our other top priorities continues to be providing assistance to the government of Ukraine so it can stabilize its economy and meet the basic needs of the Ukrainian people. As I travel to Europe next week to meet with the G7 and other European and Asian allies, I once again urge Congress to pass legislation that is necessary to provide this assistance, and do it right away. Expressions of support are not enough. We need action. I also hope that the IMF moves swiftly to provide a significant package of support for Ukrainians as they pursue reforms. In Europe, I'll also be reinforcing a message that Vice President Biden carried to Poland and the Baltic states this week. America's support for our NATO allies is unwavering. We're bound together by our profound Article 5 commitment to defend one another and by a set of shared values that so many generations sacrificed for. We've already increased our support for our Eastern European allies, and we will continue to strengthen NATO's collective defense, and we will step up our cooperation with Europe on economic and energy issues as well. Now, let me close by making a final point. Diplomacy between the United States and Russia continues. We've emphasized that Russia still has a different path available, one that de-escalates the situation and one that involves Russia pursuing a diplomatic solution with the government in Kiev, with the support of the international community. The Russian people need to know, and Mr. Putin needs to understand, that the Ukrainians shouldn't have to choose between the West and Russia. We want the Ukrainian people to determine their own destiny and to have good relations with the United States, with Russia, with Europe, with anyone that they choose. That can only happen if Russia also recognizes the rights of all the Ukrainian people to determine their future as free individuals and as a sovereign nation. Rights that people and nations around the world understand and support. Thank you very much, everybody.
With a rock star life, but he still don't fly, so he's mad at the sky. He sits me down, he kicks his wisdom. He's been around, I give him a listen. Seems like he's got a lot of complaints about how nowadays things ain't the same. Nah, used to play some faith in the basement, a toast for the sky and those kids that he came with, cause they all on the same shit based on cut down placement, uptown stay strong, don't ever do a dance with the devil now, that smile is a sign that you're selling out, judgment, gossip, ethics, let's just exploit all this excess, you can feel how he feels, to walk around town looking down from them tall heels, and who needs fame or fortune when you get the same love that the fame is snorting. Future, so afraid of yours, that you strayed from the course and you came up short. Believe he would have more credibility if he wasn't just another drunk pill junkie. It's obvious to me that he's still hungry for the superstars, a little bad lucky. Go ahead and get mad at guy. Point your fingers at your dad and ask Santa Claus. Listen, all of y'all, it's a sabotage. Wouldn't look so bad with the bandage off.
It goes one for the bar, tap two for the shine. Slow your car, do another line. Baby, trust them, they're all puppets. Love is nothing, scared of success. One for the bass, two for the drums. Last call, gon' take whatever comes. Baby, trust them, they're all puppets. Love is nothing, scared of success.
I think it's great how you used to be great. I can't hate on how you choose to relate. But I know that you had the potential. I understand why you wanted to let go. A lot of pressure in the middle of those shoulders. And we ain't getting nothing but older. Ain't nothing changed but the day we run from. But nobody knows it better than you, huh?
One for the bar, tap two for the shine. Let's go to your car and do another line. Barely trust them, they're all puppets. Love is nothing, scared of success. One for the bass, two for the drums. Last call, gonna take whatever comes. Barely trust them, they're all puppets. Love is nothing, scared of success. One for the bar, tap two for the shine. Let's go to your car and do another line. Trust them, they're all puppets. Love is nothing, scared of success. One for the bass, two for the drums. Last call, gonna take whatever comes. Barely trust them, they're all puppets. Love is nothing, scared of success.
More problems for a troubled
earthquake.
Yep,
we're having an earthquake.
Wow, that's our affiliate KTLA in Los Angeles as a 4.4 magnitude earthquake hit the city early this morning. The quake was centered about 15 miles from downtown. Wow. At least six aftershocks followed, the strongest of which was a magnitude 2.7. Good news, there are no reports, repeat, no reports of casualties or serious damage.
Chile has ordered an evacuation of parts of its northern coast as a precautionary measure following an earthquake. U.S. geologists say a quake with a magnitude of 7.0 jolted an area 35 kilometers northwest of the city of Iquique. A second tremor was felt about 36 kilometers off the port city, but no immediate reports of major damage or injuries.
Champion diver has taken his love for leaping to new heights after jumping 38 meters off a treetop into the Amazon River. Colombian Orlando Duque set out in a boat on the Amazon River near the border between Peru, Colombia and Brazil to find a 35-meter tree to make the daring leap. With a few helping hands, he found a 38-meter rubber tree, which is said to be about 100 years old, providing the perfect diving conditions.
The depth and everything is perfect, doing a jump that I normally wouldn't do because you need it to be pretty deep. The only thing that was a little difficult was getting up there, but it was all spectacular. The view from up there is truly beautiful. You can see both sides by walking behind the tree. Just spectacular. I don't think you can imagine it.
Duque believes that no one else has tried this death-defying dive.
You know, in the Amazon, I think I leave a bit of my essence diving from this tree. You know that it's probably never, ever been done, so you know it is amazing to be able to do that.
Overnight, U.S. Navy SEALs seized a commercial tanker in the Mediterranean Sea. The Morning Glory had been seized earlier this month by three armed Libyans and is carrying a cargo of oil owned by the Libyan government. For more on what's happening here, let's turn to CNN's Pentagon correspondent Barbara Starr. Barbara.
Good morning, Michaela. President Obama personally approved the mission for the U.S. Navy SEALs to board and raid that ship overnight. It had been followed very closely, but it was a bit of a mystery. The ship seized earlier this month by apparently three armed men at a port in Libya, which is part of the country that was seeking more autonomy from the federal government, essentially a breakaway rebel group. It had about 200,000 belong to the government, and the ship was boarded and seized in the Mediterranean, as you say, between Libya and Cyprus. It was boarded by the U.S. with the approval of the Libyan government. No one hurt, by all accounts. No shots fired. Another move by the Navy SEALs and a mission, by all accounts, executed successfully.
Sounds like a fairly easy takeover. Do we have any indication of what happened to those Libyan suspects on board, those three men?
What, right now, those three men are still said to be on board the ship, and that ship is now under the control of the U.S. Navy. There are a group of U.S. Navy sailors on board who are piloting that tanker back to a Libyan port, and it is expected that the men will be turned back over to the Libyan government.
Hijacking or terrorism or mechanical failure or pilot error, but what if it was something
fully that we don't really understand. A lot of people have been asking about that, about black holes and on and on and on and all of these conspiracy theories. Let's look at this. Noah says, what else can you think about? Black hole, Bermuda Triangle. And then Deji says, huh, just like the movie Lost. And of course, it's also, they're also referencing the Twilight Zone, which has a very similar plot. That's what people are saying. I know it's preposterous, but is it preposterous, you think, Mary?
Well, it is. A black hole is about, you know, a small black hole would suck in our entire universe. So we know it's not that. Bermuda Triangle is often weather. And Lost is a TV show. So right. I think I always like things for which there's data, history, crunch the numbers. So for me, those aren't there. But I think it's wonderful that the whole world is trying to help with their theories. And I absolutely love the theories.
You know what they say? Some things in life are bad. They can really make you mad. Other things just make you swear and curse. When you're chewing on life's gristle, don't grumble. Give a whistle, and this'll help things turn out for the best. And always look on the bright side of life. Always look on the light side of life. If life seems jolly rotten, there's something you've forgotten. And that's to laugh and smile and dance and sing. When you're feeling in the dumps, don't be silly chumps. Just purse your lips and whistle, that's the thing. And always look on the bright side of life. Come on! Always look on the right side of life. For life is quite absurd, and death's the final word. You must always face the curtain with a bow. Forget about your scene, give the audience a grin. Enjoy it, it's your last chance anyhow.
So always look on the bright side of death. Just before you draw your terminal breath.
Life's a piece of shit when you look at it. Life's a laugh and death's a joke, it's true. You'll see it's all a show. Keep them laughing as you go. Just remember that the last laugh is on you. And
always look on the bright side of life. Always look on the right side of life.
We'll come from nothing, you know what I say? Cheer up, you old bugger. I'll give the grin. There you are. See? In the film. Incidentally, this record's available in the foyer. Come as far as live as well, yeah? Who do you think pays for all this rubbish? I don't want to make the money back, you know? I told him. I said to him, Bernie, I said, they'll never make that money back.
Very powerful stuff. What more do you want?
I used to believe in freedom of speech until I had to pay my first phone bill. That's cool, because I heard reality only makes you stronger if it don't kill. Do you think nature cares more for the mountain or the molehill? Does it favor the rabbit that plows the earth when it's alive, or the one that fertilizes the soil when it becomes roadkill? It appears the night and day don't discriminate. Imagine if the sun and moon had to debate, labor over mandate, who was the best candidate to rise at the break of dawn. But then again, based on how infrequently the sun shines in Britain, maybe that statement itself is debatable. but the above examples are merely to highlight that we are probably the species with the most autonomy in the whole of the Earth's geography. So why do we struggle with its philosophy to the point where it becomes a foreign ideology when even nature practices democracy? All I'm saying is that, like a German football fan in a pub in Shoreditch during the 2010 World Cup matchup between the two countries, our human emotions and democracy find it difficult to coexist, causing us to make a mockery of this. So this raises the question, did Atticus Finch kill a mockingbird for a concept that doesn't really exist? Ironic how human nature and the laws of nature conflict. Our judgments are clouded by a lion's share of pride, rather than following the example of the lion and its pride. I used to believe in democracy, till my mum would give my sister the biggest chicken in the soup, simply because she was a lot bigger. And that's how we learnt democracy worked in our social groups, only hold value to the views of those who were most popular. And that's why we find it difficult to make any progress, and the adults didn't do much to facilitate the process, because we were always shot down at the first sign of protest. But when bees gather honey for the queen, they don't have to worry about pay cut, possibly redundancy, a recession. Have you ever seen a rise in young bee unemployment? So if nature can get it right, maybe it's not the way we've been practicing it all along, but maybe it's the mentality we've adopted towards it which is wrong. Because for us, it's not even about who or what we're voting for. It's more about what it represents and what we're hoping for. We're driven by emotions and our pride as people. But from the passenger seat, how much control do you really have to drive the vehicle? Because nature made some of us white and some of us black. Some of us skinny and some of us the opposite of that. But nature didn't make us discriminate, put bombs on our back, or station troops in foreign lands. The only nature that causes that is human nature, and that's all the facts. Do you know that red deer herds only move when 60% of the adults stand up, effectively voting with their feet? Both baboons and apes do not select a male leader until the females in the group have had a chance to look and decide. And the feminists would probably have a chuckle at that, because we struggle, in fact, with a concept as simple as women's rights. We live in juxtaposition to the universe and its natural tendencies. So democracy works, but people don't. We'd rather focus on what divides us than what unites us, on what's inside us. Represented for the same spot where Mark Duggan was shot, where Damilola was stabbed, where Stephen Lawrence was dropped. When animals kill one another, it's either for survival or nourishment. When the rain beats down on the soil, it's merely to provide the seeds with some encouragement. Google the Baltic and the North Sea. Watch how they balance perfect with no need for establishment or congressman. Do you know the hermit crab does not grow its own shell? It wanders along and uses whatever it can for a shell, whether it be glass, bottles or cans. So effectively, this proved that recycling is also a naturalistic tendency, and we struggle with that as well. I had an argument with my friend who stated that our consciousness has allowed us to become supreme beings on this earth. And I responded, but animals eat, sleep, spend time with their family each week, travel the earth as they please. I spend more time texting some people than we actually speak. So is this consciousness really a gift or a curse? So before we look at democracy, let's look at hypocrisy. And we should realize that every problem we have on this earth, we are the responsible ones. And the only law we need to work on implementing is our natural ones. Because nature practices democracy. Human nature, as of yet, does not.
Now, go find the others.com.
I'm going to be honest, as an audience, I'm beginning to find you tiresome, rude, and disagreeable. And if any of you, honestly, if any of you know of any other better material I should be performing, you can email me. My email address is noreply@mailerdemon.com.